Okay. Let's move on to our regular calendar. And then we'll return to the poll to consent items.
Item 272, report on building equity in construction.
I think we have a presentation on this. Yes? We'll wait and see. Yes, no, do we have somebody here to present on this item? Yes, here you are. Okay, sorry, you're trying to fight your way through the crowd. There you are. Good morning. Still morning, just barely. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mayor Hills, and Commissioners Fritz and Fish, in the absence of Commissioners Novick and Saltzman. And I'm Deborah Lindsay, Director of Workforce Development for the Urban League of Portland, and I'm here this afternoon as part of a coalition, Building Equity in Construction. Building Equity in Construction is a coalition of four community-based organizations representing BOLI certified pre-apprenticeships, community college, and community-based organization. We're comprised of Constructing Hope, Oregon Tradeswomen, Portland Community College, and the Urban League of Portland. The coalition is funded by the Northwest Health Foundation, Kaiser Permanente Community Fund, to build healthy communities by promoting workforce equity and quality employment opportunities in the construction industry for women and people of color. Our vision is that through interest into the high-wage, highly skilled construction trades, men of color and diverse women will move out of poverty and into middle class. This project and our partnerships are designed to engage owners, contractors, and other stakeholders in the removal of barriers to the adoptance and success of our communities in the trades. As part of this project, we work directly with owners and contractors to ensure that diverse women and men of color are working in construction. We help contractors connect with qualified, well-trained workers. We work with project owners to help them understand the importance of workforce equity and training upon upcoming workforce, as well as implementing strategies to accomplish these goals. We're here today to talk with City Council about the impact of the training and outreach funds received from the Community Benefits Agreement, otherwise known as the CBA, that was implemented on the city's Interstate and Kelly Butte projects. You all received copies of the brochure that elaborates more on the CBA itself. And we are acting as the Adult Workforce Subcommittee, in which many of us are also members of the Metropolitan Alliance for Workforce Equity, otherwise known as MAUI. Outreach and training funds are an essential component of the CBA. Many women and people of color have never considered working in the construction trades or believe that it's accessible to them. Targeted outreach efforts are effective in reducing misconceptions about industry and building a diverse pool of workers. And bringing historically underrepresented communities to the table, we are able to progress towards our vision of helping them move out of poverty and into middle class. We'd now like to talk with you about the training funds and how they're being used in two of our organizations. And then we'd like to share two stories of newly trained skilled workers that have benefited from through the pre-apprenticeship programs through the training funds of the Community Benefit Agreement. We hope that you will continue to fund city projects for future CBAs and that you will maintain outreach and training funds as a critical component of those agreements. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mandy Kubisch, and I work for Oregon Tradeswomen. I'm here to tell you a little bit about how we use CBA outreach and training funds in our organization. Oregon Tradeswomen is dedicated to promoting the success for women in the trades through education, leadership, and mentorship. We do this in a variety of ways, but the way that I'm going to talk to you about and the way that the CBA funds help us is through our Trades and Apprenticeship Career Class. The CBA fund helps helps us fund this class and has provided training for about 8 to 9 women in each of our last 3 classes, and will continue to provide training for our next couple of classes for 8 to 9 women. The class costs $5,000 per student, and we have 26 students in each class and do 4 classes per year. The class is a 7-week state-certified pre-apprenticeship class that prepares women to work in the construction industry. The class is broken into 3 different components: the classroom component, the job site day component, and field trip component. So for 7 weeks, they're doing all 3 components. The classroom, they learn math and measurement. They learn job site etiquette and expectations. They learn construction culture, interview skills. They learn how to build a trades resume. And they learn communication skills and much more. On job site days, they actually work on real job sites. We partner with local nonprofits in the community, like Village Gardens, Reach, and Oregon Food Bank, and we do construction work for them that they need done. And they learn safety training on job sites. They learn how to use power tools. They learn how to work on ladders and basic construction concepts like framing, and in addition to learning pace and culture of working on a job site and working in construction. The third day, they go on field trips to different construction trade apprenticeship training centers and different commercial job sites. And this exposure helps them choose a trade that really connects for them and that they can see doing for as a career. It also gives them a good understanding of apprenticeship and how to navigate that whole world. Additionally, they get fitness training, and they must pass both a fitness test and a math and measurement test in order to graduate. All of our students get OSHA 10 certification, and once students are actually graduated, they have the opportunity to attend an environmental track where they get additional certifications like HAZWOP and CSIL. All other certifications that our students get are done on a case-by-case basis, depending on what trade they actually decide to enter into. And we see this as an opportunity for us to handle our finances in a fiscally responsible way. And it also makes sure that we're working with our students on an individual level. We offer students ready-to-earn funds that they can request once they get that job or they get into an apprenticeship, to help them buy gears and tools just so that they're ready to go and able to be successful. And this class, the most important piece is that this class positions them to apply to apprenticeship, making them more competitive, giving them more confidence, experience, and skills, as well as a real chance of breaking into the industry and embarking on a new lifelong career. So in a nutshell, that's how the CBA funds help fund our program and keep it going and help women enter into this workforce. Thank you.
My name is Tiffany Thompson. I also work for Oregon Tradeswomen, and I'm actually here today to share with you the story of Angela Buckwalter. She had planned on coming herself, but sadly she is ill today, so she called me this morning and asked me to say a few words to you. Angela graduated from Linfield College in December of 2012 with a BA in business. However, over the course of the next year, she was unable to find employment, and it was at that point that she really started researching other opportunities for herself. She found Oregon Tradeswomen and joined our class in January of this year, and she graduated from our program on March 6th, and she said to me that she just feels very lucky that she was able to be a part of this program and that she will be able to find a job now, and she's going to be applying to be an inside electrician with the IBEW.
Great. So
we have 2 more people who are going to talk about Constructing Hope with you for a moment, and then we'll let you ask us some questions.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank all 3 of you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Pat Daniels, and I'm the executive director for Constructing Hope, a pre-apprenticeship training program. I'm going to just share with you that Constructing Hope we're a partner with Oregon Tradeswomen, and the difference with our program is we empower people to exceed by offering resources and opportunities for career development in construction trades. Constructing Hope is a program that serves an underserved population. And when we say underserved population, we target folks coming from incarceration, and our program is 100% low income. With that being said, I'd just like to thank you, because the funds that the CBA dollars that came to Constructing Hope not only increased the size of our program from 16 to 25 applicants per class, and we offer 3 classes per year, but it helps remove barriers because we're working with a different population. When I say remove barriers, I'm not sure if, well, I know you're familiar with Project Clean Slate. Project Clean Slate is a program that we send most of our students through. We help reinstate Oregon driver's license. We help with tools, work boots, union dues and anything that could be a barrier to them actually entering the trades. These skills are also reinforced through life skills. So I would like to tell you that we have an extensive life skills class, and we partner on civic engagement with Oregon Trade Women because, again, when we look at our low-income population, a lot of times we encourage that they are registered to vote and understand the political process. In closing, I'd just like to say that so far these funds have helped us train 50 people. But as we mentioned, that this is not the end of our class year. We have two more classes to go between the two programs. So I look at that as being an additional 50 people. So we would like to just encourage you to continue to support the CBA. I feel that it's a great use of funds that actually transcend among many communities when we look at low-income populations just throughout the city of Portland. With that, I'd like to say also that we, too, had a hard time getting someone to come and speak today because success is a good thing. So I'd like to introduce to you Melina, who is a current student at Constructing Hope that's going to be graduating next week on the 27th.
Okay. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Melina, and I am a student graduating this term with Constructing Hope. And I just want to say that Constructing Hope states, we are in the business of rebuilding the lives of people in our community by encouraging self-sufficiency through skills training and education in the construction industry. First of all, I want to emphasize on rebuilding lives, for that is what it is helping me accomplish, rebuild my life. Through this program, not only have I gained hands-on construction experience, classroom instruction, and now certified for flagging, OSHA safety, and forklift driving, but this program has also taught me what it takes to succeed, to be passionate about my goals in life, the importance of good work ethics, utilize and obtain new skills, to be aggressive and do whatever it takes to achieve my goals, to be physically and mentally prepared to overcome any barriers or obstacles that may cross my path, to be able to cope and enjoy life outside work and be aware not only of the choices I make, but the effects of my choices and the impact it has on others around me. I am a Native American woman in recovery and a survivor of domestic violence. While attending the Construction Hope program, I worked a part-time dead-end job. Because of a tarnished background, obtaining a successful career was just a dream. But Constructing Hope has given me just that, hope. Upon completion of this program, I now have the options of direct entry into the Carpenters Union, Laborers Union, flagging or forklift driving options I never knew were even possible for a woman like me. I now have hope in a brighter future and becoming self-sufficient with new skills, hands-on training, and better education of the construction trades. I'm now ready to pursue a career that has once only been a dream and soon be joining the Oregon Southern Idaho Laborers Union after graduation. So with much thanks and appreciation that words cannot describe, I am now and will be forever grateful to Constructing Hope for giving me what my life lacked, hope for a successful career.
Wow, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for taking the time and staying to testify. It's very helpful.
Great. Thank you very much.
The last bit, I just want to say thank you so much to City Council for everything that you do, and also to Josh Alpert and Rachel Wiggins for making it possible for us to come and report to you on how successful these training funds have been so far. And we just want to say that the construction industry is facing a shortage of skilled, well-trained, and diverse workers to complete their jobs. Training funds received from community benefits agreements are crucial to these programs that prepare people for entrance to the trades and creating an upcoming workforce. We are grateful, like I said, for what the City of Portland has already done, and we ask you to continue this work. Please choose an upcoming project for the next CBA and also maintain training and outreach funds as a part of those agreements. So whatever questions you all have.
Any questions for this great panel?
If somebody's interested in getting involved, how can they find out about you?
The best way for us is just to go to our websites, so constructinghope.org, I believe,
yes.
And tradeswomen.net. And it has the information sessions that you can attend for both of those programs. In terms of if people want more information about the CBA, the best contact is John Gardner with Work Systems, and he's at jgardner@worksystems.org.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Is there anyone else that wants to testify on these items?
Yes, we have two
Thank
people
you all.
Signed up. Come on up, Charles Johnson and Barry Joe Stoll.
Good afternoon. Come on up.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. As you may be painfully or happily aware, my name is Charles Johnson. We're having another long meeting, but our guest from Individuals for Justice has decided not to join us. My comments on this one will be brief because it's a very encouraging program to see you work on helping the citizens of the city find diverse living wage jobs. Most of my remarks will be withheld for the next item, which will pertain to G4S, which kind of contradicts, I think, your effort in this regard. But I do want to strongly encourage the four of you that are here right now during this long meeting to continue these good efforts so that the people getting living wage productive jobs in the city will come from a very diverse background. Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you.
Hello there, Barry Joe Stahl. I signed up because last month, Commissioner Fritz, I had a meeting regarding turning some city property and a land swap to a parks
bureau. Barry, you need to speak on this item.
I am.
Now.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Good. I'll start again. Last month, I had a meeting with Commissioner Fritz regarding turning some city property into a Parks Bureau natural area. We had that on the agenda today. One of the issues that came up was the extraordinary amount of deferred maintenance that the Parks Bureau has on its properties. And I see that a stacked benefit would result by tying the matters these women just discussed, training for jobs, and getting that deferred maintenance done without offending the unions. I think that that would be a stacked benefit. Any questions, Mayor?
No, thanks very much.
Please do not interrupt me next time. I know what I'm talking about, okay?
Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Then we need a motion on this report.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fritz.
Well, this these community benefits agreements, which are currently being done, are were done kind of retrofitting into a previously approved contract, and so that was challenging. And Oregon Tradeswomen, in particular, worked very hard with the commissioners in charge to make sure that this got done and is implemented. And so I particularly appreciate you taking the time to come back and telling us how it's working and who it's working for, because that's really what it's all about. It will be much better when we are able to do a prospective community benefits agreement on a project that has not yet been done. I have asked the Portland Parks and Recreation to include community benefits agreements in the construction of Gateway and Beach Parks. So that we're not quite ready to move on that yet, but when we are, we will certainly be in touch and be looking at what kinds of benefits could be provided. Parks, under Commissioner Fish's leadership, already has done kind of a modified version of the community benefits agreement with Verde and the Let Us Build Cully Park program. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all for community benefits agreements. The important thing is that there are community benefits and that we have agreements on how we're going to implement them. So thank you for your partnership on that, and I look forward to working with you in the future. Aye.
Fish?
I recently met with Willie Myers from the Columbia Pacific Building Trades, and he came before us, or his predecessor came before us a few years ago, and was describing 30-40% unemployment rates in the trades because of the recession and the impact on families. And I was pleased to learn that because of the economic rebound and the construction projects in the pipeline, many of the trades are now at 100%, which means they're looking for new people to come in, and they're actually soliciting workers outside of our state. So this is a great time for people to choose a career in the trades. And it is a great time for us to double down on making sure there are no barriers for people to have those jobs, whether they are female or people of color or whatever the barrier. Let's make sure that we sweep them aside. I believe in the community benefit agreement model, and I will just tell you candidly, if the water district passes in May, the city council would no longer decide whether we should continue to participate at either of the two of the city's largest utilities. And so that is a political reality that it would no longer fall to us to make that judgment. But I thank you for this excellent presentation. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you. Sorry I had to step out of the room for the presentation, but I did catch some of it on TV, and just want to say how much I support community benefit agreements and diversifying our workforce. Thanks, Mayor, for bringing this report forward. Aye.
Novick?
I echo my colleagues' comments. I also just wanted to say that, I mean, the issue of barriers to employment for people coming out of prison is a very serious one that requires our attention. And I'd like to see if there's anything else that we can do to address that issue. I mean, I think that Maryland, the state of Maryland, has a rule saying that employers can't ask about, I think it's arrest records more than 5 years beforehand or something like that. I don't know if we'd have the authority to do something like that at the city level, but I think it's, I mean, we can't expect people to come out and be productive citizens if there's so many barriers to them being productive citizens. So thanks for bringing up that issue. Aye.
Hales.
Well, this is a great report. Thank you so much. It's validation of the community benefits agreement model. As you said, Commissioner Fritz, it doesn't work the same way in every project, but it clearly works. And it's also a validation of what great partners Oregon Tradeswomen and Constructing Hope are for us as a city. So thank you all very much for being here today. And this is a great validation of the work that you're doing and more problems to solve. I agree with you, Commissioner Novick, about the issue of people that have a record and how do we help them move forward. But we have good partners for figuring out how to solve those problems. Thank you very much. Aye.